after the long and painful account we have read and heard today, we go back to the silence of God. The Word of God, that shout of incarnation that came with Christmas and grew stronger in Epiphany, and moved during Lent to that more certain and clear voice, and finally comes to the stillness of the lonesome way of the cross, punctuated only by the sound of nails being hammered into place. Today we hear the last words and then the silence. All of us have heard the silence of God, not only in unanswered prayers, but in the silence when we have sensed a presence larger than our own. This is such a time. This is the time of the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, when the words that tell of the suffering servant are made clear and concrete in the life of Jesus. This is the time when the early church hymn that speaks of Christ emptying himself, although he was in the form of God, taking human form, is eloquent. It is the silence of the Word, emptying out in humility and obedience. As the Word of God enters the silence of God, we're urged to let our tongues confess that Jesus, the one hanging on the cross in silence, is Lord. How quickly the words of the passers-by changed from hailing Jesus with the words, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," to taunting him and crying, "Crucify him." All the words of that day, from Jesus' words to the disciples, to Peter's words of denial, to Jesus' words with Pilate, and his final words to God. All of these words stand out in sharp relief against the great silence of God, which slowly engulfs the hour and the day and urges us to still our voices and stand within the mystery of what has befallen. The Word of God has become silent. It is a silence hard for us to bear. We're anxious and talkative when we perceive things larger than we can comprehend. Even ineffectual words are comforting because they have a human sound. But God, in human form, was silenced, and silenced by others very much like ourselves. The disciples were not so unlike us. Although we may comfort ourselves from our distant century, our own times tell stories which echo the enforced silence of God. And while we may not have actively caused suffering, our apathy or inaction may have allowed it to happen. What I would like for us to do now is to enter that silence together. We do so as Joseph of Arimathea did 2 millennia ago. Each of the 4 Gospels tells us that a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph asked Pilate for the body of Jesus and provided the tomb for Christ. We can assume that it was his own tomb because one usually doesn't arrange for several. It's interesting that his name is given in each account, although he played a relatively small part in the great drama. He was significant as a man of wealth that used his money generously and for good. Later, Joseph of Arimathea became a central figure in the Christian legend of the Holy Grail, but I don't want to get ahead of today's message. I want us to take a few minutes and focus on the tomb that he gave for Jesus and the silence of that tomb. Scripture says he had hewn it from the rock. Perhaps he had done so himself. In any case, to arrange a tomb for oneself is a very sobering experience. It's to acknowledge that we are going to die. It's also to take responsibility for oneself so one's family does not have that burden of what to do with the body. Joseph of Arimathea had done that. It was a highly personal decision, and then after the death of Jesus, he went and made a point of using his influence in the community to have Pilate allow him to take the body of Jesus and place it in his tomb. It had been a very personal decision, and it was a very personal gift. It's also a very symbolic and significant act. This is because Joseph of Arimathea was clearly a respected and honorable person, and the giving of his tomb to Jesus was a way of giving back something very profound that Jesus had given him. Jesus had shown him a kind of life that made his old life obsolete. The gift he gave Jesus in response is precisely what Jesus asks each of us to do. Jesus wants us to give him our tombs. He wants us to give him those places where we are dead, where life has ceased, and he will make them his own. He wants to take our place there in them. So, let us enter into the silence of our tombs, the places where we have harbored hatred and hurt, the places where we have let fear cripple our potential, where we have let our dreams die and our loves turn cold. Let us dare to open them and stand in their stale air and silence. Let us feel the deadness there. Then let us, like Joseph of Arimathea, offer them for our crucified Lord and wait in the silence. Amen.